All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and open up to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, tonight we are continuing in our Bible-based counseling series. And tonight's topic, we have had some really rough ones. Tonight's topic is perhaps one of the easiest and the gentlest that we've had. And it's the topic of gratefulness or gratitude. Maybe we think that this isn't much of a counseling topic. However, think about some of the people that you work with or some of the people that are in your life. You've got gloomy Gus, who always sees the dark side. You've got a negative Nellie that couldn't see anything positive if her life depended on it. You've got grumbly Greta, who complains about the least little thing that doesn't go her way. And then you got paranoid Paul. Paranoid Paul thinks everybody's out to get him and only bad things are going to happen. Do you know those people? Do they infiltrate your life when you think that this is a great day? Everything's just going great and I'm enjoying it. And then that individual somehow slips in and has a way to throw a wrench into the mechanism. You know people like that? They could throw a blanket across a rainbow that pops up in life and turn a sunny day into a dark and stormy one. How do we deal with those people? How do we counsel them? One of the things that we need to realize, this whole series, Bible-based counseling, maybe you're thinking, well, I'm not going to be doing any kind of counseling, because in our mind, we think of counseling as setting up a time in the week that we're going to meet with an individual for an hour or two, and we're going to do this for several weeks. And we think counseling in that kind of terminology. And I doubt seriously most of us will ever do something like that. But are you going to ever have somebody come up to you and say, I want your advice on something? Or they want your opinion and they want your input on a particular situation. That is the counseling that we are going to tend to do. And this individual that's this negative, grumbly, gloomy individual, they're going to kind of come up to you someday at work and they're going to go, I don't know why I'm always in just such a bad mood. And you're going to want to look at them and say, yeah, I kind of wonder that too. Now, don't say that, but your door has just opened up because they've, in a way, even though they didn't say, what's your opinion? Why do you think I'm this way? They have opened up the door for you to step in. And when they open up the door, feel free to step in and begin the counseling. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the first thing that we want to see on this topic tonight, and I want us to carefully examine our hearts and make sure that we haven't drifted into negative territory. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 and 10, Paul says, for I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. So the first thing we want to see tonight is that the source of our gratitude should come from a redeemed heart. The source of our gratitude should come from a redeemed heart. That is the well from which gratefulness is drawn. You say, but I'm not dealing with a saved person. I'm dealing with a lost person. Exactly. Remember when we started this whole series, we said always get somebody to the point of sharing the gospel. And this is a perfect opportunity. Stop and think about our own lives for just a moment tonight. Be realistic. Where would you be at right now if you had never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? What kind of a person would you be? Try to imagine it for just a moment. Where would you be at if you had not trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? For some, maybe you have to be honest and say you would have been deeper into drugs and alcohol. There may be others who would be in different beds all the time. Some might be broke from foolish spending. Others might have a totally selfish life and a totally selfish lifestyle. Others might say, well, I was really a good person before salvation. I wasn't drinking and smoking and cussing and partying and carousing and all those kinds of things. So I guess I would just been a better version of myself. Oh, don't think too highly of yourself. Good people go to hell. Moral people go to hell. Religious people go to hell. Let's remind ourselves of Matthew chapter 7 and what it says here. Matthew chapter 7, verse 22. The Lord shares this warning. Matthew 7 and verse 22, Jesus said, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" The day is coming where there will be those who would say, "Lord, I've done all these religious things." And others may say, "Well, I didn't do the religious things, but I did many wonderful works. I was a good person. I was decent. I was moral. I was kind. I was giving. I was that kind of an individual. I was a good neighbor. I was the neighbor anybody would have wanted to have." Verse 23, "Then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." You know, the individual that maybe was a, by the world standards, a squeaky clean person versus the individual who is the alcoholic, the drug addict, or a host of other things, both are equally condemned to an eternity in hell. One doesn't get to skate free because they weren't doing all those bad things. A lost person is a lost person regardless, and the same hell that is planned for one is planned for the other. And a person has to be born again. As we said throughout this series, start with the gospel or find some way to get the gospel to an individual. When we are doing this kind of counseling, if we are saved, if you're dealing with a saved individual, our gratefulness begins with thanking God for our salvation. When were you saved? Now, don't answer this out loud, but I'm serious tonight. I want you, everybody, to really think about this. When were you saved? When did you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? When did you call on Jesus to save your soul? Mine was the first Sunday night in 1979, the month of August. Brother Ryan shared his Sunday evening, his testimony. Didn't take long to share either one. If you are saved, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, your testimony does not start out, "Well, I think." That is a red flag that you most likely do not have a testimony. You know when you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. You may not have the date. Like mine, I can say is August 5th, night, or not the first Sunday night of August, 1979. You may not know the calendar date, but you can share the event. What took place? Where were you? Who was with you at the time? What did you say to the Lord? How do you know that you trusted Him as Savior at that moment of time? There was a moment of time where you went from being lost to being saved. Your salvation wasn't a dimmer switch where you kind of slowly faded into it. It was a moment where in time where you went from darkness to light. And if you're saved, you've got a testimony. And you can tell somebody, "This is when I trusted Christ as Savior." And you know what? If you got a testimony, you can tell somebody else how to be saved. I think maybe out of a lot of churches all across this country, all across this world, you say, "Well, why is it more evangelism taking place?" The statistics tell us that an awful lot of individuals sitting in churches tonight, in churches on Sunday, do not know Christ as Savior. So therefore, if you don't have a testimony, you don't have a testimony to share. And if you don't know the gospel for yourself, how are you going to share it with anybody else? When were you saved? How do you know that if you were to die, I mean, how do you know that you would be with Jesus? Don't you think we ought to know the answer to that question? I mean, we got no guarantees that we are going to just nicely fade into the sunset and we'll have lots of time to think and plan and all that kind of stuff. Death can come instantaneously. You better know now. And if you know now, that's where you start your gratitude from. Of all the things we have to be thankful for, salvation is the greatest gift of anything God could give us. And anything beyond salvation is actually below salvation. Salvation is the greatest gift we could get. So if we can sit here tonight and say, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. This is when I gave my heart and life to Jesus. This is when I called upon the name of the Lord to be saved. This is when I was redeemed, when I was saved, when I was forgiven, made a child of God, sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. Everything else is just secondary. And I am grateful. Gratitude starts there, doesn't it? Let's look at the second thing. Let's go to Psalm chapter 92. Psalm 92, ingratitude is a sin. Ingratitude is a sin. In Psalm 92 in verse 1, the Bible says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Go to the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. The Bible says here, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That sounds like a command to me. What about to you? It's a good thing to be thankful, the psalmist tells us. And now the apostle Paul says, do it. Give thanks always. That's a command. Failure to obey God's command is disobedience. Disobedience is a sin. Now, we might have a tendency to downgrade this sin and say it's just a minor thing. It's just a misdemeanor, you know, kind of like speeding. Most people do it. It's not reckless op. I wasn't in a school zone, and we all know that we get 5 miles over the speed limit. Try those excuses on the police officer when he's behind you with the red and blues and see what he has to say about that. Does the Lord look at our sin and say, well, it's just a minor infraction. It's just a misdemeanor. I don't see where the Bible tells us that. In fact, go to Romans chapter 1. Let's consider just how big of a deal ingratitude really is. In Romans chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. The Bible says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. As you read this, we know that Romans chapter 1 lists a bunch of very wicked, egregious sins. Things that we would look at and we'd say, that's awful. But do you recognize that as those egregious sins come in the passage, they come after the individual has failed to acknowledge Creator God and isn't thankful? So it seems like ingratitude is an entry point for Satan to get into our lives to take us down some even worse paths. Stop and think about this. We aren't thankful for Creator God, so we got to give credit to something else for our creation. So I guess we'll opt for evolution. I guess we'll opt for theistic evolution. I guess we'll opt for Big Bang or something like that. We have to worship creation instead of God. We aren't thankful for how God made us, male and female, and so now we have to pursue vile relationships and couplings that are a perversion of God's original plan. We aren't thankful for the righteous things, so we pursue unrighteousness. We aren't thankful for sex, so we pursue sexual perversion. We aren't thankful for what God has given us, so we covet. On and on. You read through. Those are some of the sins that are mentioned after the ingratitude. Ingratitude for what God has given causes man to pursue the things that man in the flesh wants. And it begins with ingratitude. You see, ingratitude is that big of a deal. It's that big of a sin. We cannot downplay it and say, well, okay, I'm not as thankful as I should be, but oh well, maybe I'll get better the older I get. No, I think we have to deal with this pretty seriously, folks. And if you and I as believers in Christ are guilty of ingratitude, we got to do something about it. What can we do? Well, let's go to Psalm 26. Psalm chapter 26. Psalm 26, verse 7. The Bible says in verse 7 that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Develop a daily habit of praising the Lord. Develop a daily habit of praising the Lord. Some of you tonight, you have a prayer list. You have got a list of individuals that you pray for, people from church, your family, people that are friends, co-workers, our missionaries, things like that. You've got a list that you pray through on a daily basis, and that's a good thing. But what about having a praise list? You say, what's that? Writing down the good things that the Lord has done for us, the blessings, the things that we can just praise Him for. And seeing how many things we can put on that. And then just as you pray through a prayer list, asking God for things, what about going through your praise list and spend time thanking Him for things? Now, how long would that take us to get through a day with prayer? You remember the Bible verse that says, pray without ceasing? By the time you get done giving up your prayer requests and praising Him for everything that we could praise Him for, we're going to be praying without ceasing, aren't we? That's going to take a lot of time. It is going to consume us. And that's not a bad thing. To be going through the day just praising the Lord, thanking Him for the things that He has done for us in our lives. We have got that song, Count Your Blessings. We sang that song on Sunday night. It is well familiar to us. Think about the words. We are told to count our blessings. We are to name them one by one. On our prayer list, okay, let's say that we have sinned in the day. We get to the end of the day and we decide, well, better do my, before I go to bed prayer, get things all right with the Lord. Lord, today's not been the best of days. I know I've sinned a lot. I'm really sorry about that. Forgive me for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you confess your sins? You confess nothing. To confess means that we are saying the same thing about the sin that God says about the sin. Homologeo is what the Greek word is, to say the same thing. Does God name our sins? Absolutely. Does He know what they are specifically? Sure He does. So are we not supposed to name them? Okay, what about confessing our praises to Him? Shouldn't we confess those, count them, naming them one by one? And if we forget to do that, we're in danger. Turn to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 4. It is a dangerous thing to forget where all those blessings came from. Isn't it easy to get to the end of a hard week? You've worked hard. You're exhausted. The muscles hurt. But yet you can sit back and you can see what you've accomplished in the week. And it's very tempting to look at all the accomplishments and pat ourselves on the back and say, you know what, I did a good job this week. And God never got mentioned, He never got praised. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes, and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for. And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of thy life, but teach them unto thy sons and thy sons' sons. Don't forget what God has done. Let's look at another way that we work on this gratitude issue. Go to the book of Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. The fourth thing tonight is we have to cultivate contentment. We have got to cultivate contentment. Hebrews 13 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." What is it tonight, Christian, that we have? We have the Lord who will never leave us nor forsake us. What more else could we possibly want? What else could we possibly need? We have the Lord. John Wesley was about 21 years of age when he went to Oxford University. If I remember correctly, John Wesley was not saved at that time. He was incredibly religious. He was also a snob. He was incredibly sarcastic. He was full of himself. And he had no problem letting people know what kind of an aristocrat he was. One night he was at a train station and he was speaking to a porter. And he discovered that the fellow had only one coat and lived in impoverished conditions. The man didn't even have a bed. And yet he was unusually a happy person, filled with gratitude to God. Wesley kind of thoughtlessly joked about the man's misfortunes and says, "So, what else do you thank God for?" The porter smiled and in the spirit of meekness replied with joy, "I thank Him that He has given me life and being, a heart to love Him, and above all, a constant desire to serve Him." Wesley was moved by this, and he recognized that this man knew the meaning of contentment and gratitude, and Wesley knew he did not know the meaning of it. I wonder tonight, do we have contentment? When we can be so thankful for such little things in life, we know what contentment is. And God wants us to be content. Notice something else. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. If none of the other points have hit us, oh, this one will get us. How do we stay grateful? How do we keep that heart of gratitude? Two words. Stop complaining. Stop complaining. Do we ever, how many of you would be honest enough to say you complain occasionally? Okay. Couple liars in the group. All right. All right. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. The Bible says very simply, do all things. Doesn't say some or most. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Complaining and gratitude cannot coexist. They cannot exit your mouth simultaneously. You cannot say how thankful you are for something and complain about it in the same breath. It doesn't work. Story is told about a monk. This monk had taken his oath of silence, and he was allowed only two words to speak at the end of every year. After his first year there, the head abbot came to him and said, "Okay, you can speak your two words." And the monk said, "Better food." The abbot says, "All right." He says, "We can take care of that." And they got in the best chef, cooked up some of the best meals and everything else. This monk ate well for a year. They get to the end of the monk's second year, and the head abbot comes to him and says, "Okay, time for your two words. What are they?" He says, "Warmer blankets." And so the head abbot made sure to get not just blankets, nice, fluffy, cushy mattresses, big, thick, heavy wool and quilted blankets and all those kinds of things, so that this monk that had taken his vow of silence wouldn't be cold. The third year came, and the head abbot comes to him and says, okay, what are your two words? And the monk says, I quit. The head abbot says, well, it's a good thing that you do. He says, all you've done is complain since you've been here. Complaining and discontentment are two sides of the same coin. And if we are a discontented, complaining individual, we are not going to have the heart of gratitude. We are not going to be grateful individuals. Now, let's go to one more passage. Go to Luke 17. Actually, we're going to have two more passages. Sorry about that. Luke 17. This is a familiar story in the Scripture. Luke 17, starting in verse 11, and it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. The sixth point tonight is this: express your gratitude to God and to others. Pastor Paul Chappell made a point, and I had never thought about it quite like this. 10 lepers are healed. How many are thankful that they were healed? Well, I got a 10 and I got a 1. Typically, and this is how I've always thought of it, 1 was thankful. But the answer is 10 were thankful. I mean, think about what it meant to have leprosy back in Bible days. When you had leprosy, you were an outcast. You were ceremonially unclean. You were sent to live in a place all by yourself. It was a sentence to die. You were shut off from society. Everything in your life that had been normal from the time that you got leprosy on is now over. And you're just waiting to die. And you're hoping, because of the leprosy, that the death would come quickly and mercifully. 10 lepers are healed. 10 run away excited. I mean, we're cleansed. We got to go show ourselves to the priest. I believe all 10 were thankful. All 10 were feeling thankful. But only 1 expressed it to the Lord. There is a big difference between feeling gratitude and expressing gratitude. We can feel it all the time. If anything good happens to you, you're going to feel thankful. If somebody comes up to you tonight and says, hey, I want to take you to Dairy Queen afterwards, and I'm buying the biggest blizzard you could eat. Amen? You're going to feel very thankful. But suppose you didn't say anything to the person that you just agreed to go with them. And you sat there and you consumed your big Oreo blizzard or whatever your flavor is. You got the biggest gigantic one they make. And you downed it and then you walked away and said, have a good night. Were you thankful for your blizzard? The answer is yes. Nobody eats one with a frown. You were very thankful for it. But you failed to express it to the person who gave the gift. 1 return to glorify God. How much does God do for us on a regular basis, on a daily basis? And I think we are thankful for it. We appreciate it. You know, we're glad to have it. We're glad to have the food we ate. We're glad to have a cold glass of clean water. We don't have to worry about contaminants and bacteria and things like that in it. We are thankful for air conditioning on a hot day like this. I'm not asking anybody to raise their hand or voice anything. the air conditioning. It's been hot. Have we sat down in the coolness and said, God, thank you for this. This feels so nice. Thank you, Lord, that I can finally find a place of reprieve from the sweat trickling down my back. Thank you that I can come in out of the heat to a comfortable seat and just enjoy it. Have we really expressed our gratitude to God for it? I guarantee you we were thankful for it. On a hot day like this, who wouldn't be thankful for it? But express it to God. And then express it to other people. You know how good God is? He has given me the air conditioning. He's given me the ice cream to eat in the air conditioning. He has given me the place to sit while I eat the ice cream and enjoy the air conditioning. God has given me so much. Oh, God is so good. And for us to express it. You know, you do that, and again, it's going to be real hard to complain and grumble about stuff and be negative when you're telling others and you're lifting up your thanksgiving to God. Go to Colossians chapter 3. As you're turning to Colossians chapter 3, the story is told from 1860. The Lady Elgin, a ship, was rammed by the Augusta, and it sank in Lake Michigan near Evanston, Illinois. There was a ministerial student on board. His name was Edward Spencer. And Edward went back and forth in the freezing water, rescuing people, bringing them to shore. Because he had spent so much time in the frigid water, it had destroyed his health. And it wasn't long before he died after that. At his funeral, it was mentioned that out of all those people he rescued, nobody said thank you. Nobody. Were those who were rescued thankful to have been rescued? Absolutely. So why didn't they express it? Why weren't they like the one leper who returned to the person who had rescued them and said thank you? Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. As Christians, we are those whom the Lord has rescued at salvation. And we are those who God has blessed time and time and time again. That is a thanksgiving that should be expressed to the Lord. Thomas Obadiah Chisholm was born in a log cabin in Franklin, Kentucky in 1866. He received his education in a little schoolhouse, and at the age of 16, he began teaching there. He was saved at the age of 27. He never had a lick of college, never had any kind of formal training, and yet God called him to be a pastor, and so he started pastoring. The problem was he was in incredibly poor health, and after about a year of pastoring, his ill health made it impossible for him to continue. He moved to Vineland, New Jersey, and he began working in an insurance office. Throughout most of his life, he suffered from ill health. Never was a healthy man. In fact, if you see a picture of this little old man, he is as frail can be. There was this little old frail man. I wish I could think of one of the old black and white sitcoms that he used to play. And he was in all the old sitcoms. This little real skinny old guy. He kind of looked like his face was smooshed in and just gray hair. I can't think who the guy is. But if you saw that guy, then you saw Thomas Chisholm. Looked the same. Thomas Chisholm, though he had this insurance gig and had only been in the ministry for a year and couldn't do it anymore, he was known for his poetry. And his poetry ended up being turned into songs, and he was a prolific hymn writer. This man, whose ill health literally ruined him, knocked him out of ministry, made his life miserable all the years of his life. You know what his most famous hymn was? Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. And you think about those words, that this man, in the condition he was in, that he could write from his heart, great is thy faithfulness. That's a heart of gratitude. That's the kind of heart that each and every one of us needs. Christian, tonight, allow your salvation to be the basis of where this kind of gratitude comes in. It's easy to get down and discouraged and negative about stuff going on around us. And some days it seems like even before you woke up, things started going wrong and they just kept going wrong throughout the entire day. And you say, well, nothing to be grateful for about today. Well, there's one thing to be grateful for. You got to the end of it and it's over. And you lived. So thank Him for it. And as you lay your head down on a pillow, you can thank the Lord that He gave you that pillow to put your head down. And you can thank Him that should He tarry, His mercies are new every morning. And should He not tarry or you not live through the night, you're going to be absent from the body in the presence of the Lord. It's a win-win situation. There's always a lot to be thankful for. But it's a discipline that we have to practice. Will we do that? Tonight, if you're here and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, if the Holy Spirit of God is convicting your heart tonight, you sure can be thankful for that. You can be thankful that there is a Savior that loves you and wants to save your soul. You can be thankful for that. And if you'll just let the Lord save you tonight, I tell you, you'll be thankful for that as well. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed tonight, if you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, just like we shared at the beginning of the message, you must be born again. The gospel message that Jesus Christ died for our sins, and He died because of us, because we are sinners. And He shed His blood in payment of our sins because that was the acceptable sacrifice before God. Nothing else would do. And it had to be the sacrificial blood of a perfect lamb. One without spot or blemish, one without any sin, and that was Jesus. And He did that for you and I. And He was buried in the tomb, and He arose again from the grave, and He still offers His gift of salvation, even after taking all of the ugliness of our sin upon Himself, He still offers the gift of salvation. Tonight, if you're here without Jesus as Savior, can you call out to the Lord and just say something like this, Dear Jesus, I am that sinner that needs to be saved. And I believe that gospel message. I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. I believe in my heart that God raised Him from the dead and that Jesus is alive. And right now I call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Is there anybody here tonight you'd say, that's what I've done. I've never done that before, but I have prayed and I've asked Jesus Christ to save my soul. Would you just slip your hand up this evening? Then our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Jesus. Lord, we have so much as believers to be grateful for. Help us not to get caught in the vicious cycle of the negativity of this world, the grumbling, the complaining that goes on around us. Help us not to get sucked into that. But help us, Lord, to resist it, to stand strong and firm. Help us, Lord, to be an example of gratefulness. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.